Chapter 12, Where to Get the Money with No Credit or Partners. Back in the early 80s, I got the notion that I wanted to be a real estate investor. I saw this ad on TV that said, come learn how to buy real estate with no money down. And that thought appealed to me, especially since I was struggling to make a living, and one thing I didn't have was cash or credit. My whole focus from morning to night was how to get enough money coming in so I could keep my old beat-up jalopy running and pay my bills. I worked long hours doing everything I could to stay ahead of the rat race because I was brought up to believe that all it takes is to get rich is work hard and keep your nose clean. Boy, was that a load of baloney. I wasn't concerned that my family and I could lose everything because, frankly, we didn't have a whole lot to lose. We'd already filed bankruptcy a few years earlier, which was devastating to my confidence and my ego. All the assets we owned were stuffed into a 1,000-square-foot house that my dad had helped me buy by loaning me the money to assume a VA loan. The one thing I hadn't lost, and by far the most important, was my burning desire to get more out of this life than a job and mere survival. I knew there had to be more out there than making a living. I just didn't know what it was. I can remember times when my will to win in these circumstances caused me so much anxiety that I hated to get out of bed in the morning. Each day was just as boring and uneventful as the last, and I didn't have any answers to how to change things, let alone improve them. I was broke and bankrupt, felt worthless, and was headed nowhere. How could a guy like me ever expect to make any real money? I had nothing to work with, at least that's what I thought at the time, but that burning desire just wouldn't rest until I found a way. And that's what compelled me to attend my first real estate seminar, even though I had to borrow the money to go. The difference between me and many others is that burning desire, because without it, I wouldn't have stood a chance of making any real money. You see, the same desire that compelled me to attend that seminar also compelled me to use what I learned there and stick with it. It would have been so much easier to quit when that first obstacle arose. But I didn't quit, and the rest is history. I believe the main reason I can communicate so well with beginning investors lies within my humble beginnings. In a nutshell, I've never forgotten the gut-wrenching anxiety that comes with being broke, and I never will. Now, you may be asking yourself, what does all this have to do with raising money to do deals? Well, just bear with me, and you'll see my reason for telling you this tear-jerking story. In fact, there are three reasons. First, I want you to get a feel for where I was when I began as an entrepreneur so that the next time a stupid thought such as I gotta have money to make money enters your head, you'll think of me and immediately come to your senses. And second, I want you to understand that no success comes without sleepless nights of plenty of anxiety and probably a lot of Tums. And thirdly, when you start using what I'm about to teach you, you'll experience rejection, which may bring some anxiety. With time and success, that anxiety will go away, especially if you persist until you win. If you quit, however, the anxiety of being a loser never goes away. All right, where to get the money? Not knowing where to get the money to do deals keeps a lot of people out of the business and unfortunately costs them financial freedom. And that saddens me because it's the easiest hurdle to overcome, really. Before we talk about where to get the money, let's discuss what would we do with it if we had it. I wouldn't use it to buy pretty houses. You simply don't buy attractive houses in nice neighborhoods priced at retail prices or thereabouts and pay cash for them. And you won't get them at wholesale price because there's no reason for the seller to discount. Because the only time I'd pay cash for a house is when I buy at a wholesale price. Cash isn't necessary to deal in houses needing no repairs. For those houses, I use terms, lease options, and owner financing, and just taking over the debt subject to, all of which require little or no cash when done properly. When we're in the wholesaling business, our job is to find houses that can be bought at wholesale prices and quickly flip them to retailers. We find the bargains and pass them on to the bargain hunters. This doesn't require cash because the buyer brings the money to purchase from you. Then the closing agent subtracts what you agreed to pay and cuts you a check for the difference. The only cash you need is for an earnest money deposit. And if you recall, that's $10 to a FSBO and about $1,000 to through an MLS-listed property. So we don't need to raise money to do 90% of the business. The money comes from our buyer at a simultaneous closing, or we simply don't need it to do the deal if we're properly trained. That leaves only one type of deal that does require money, and that's buying a house that you intend to rehab. This requires money, but certainly not yours. So let's discuss how I solved the money problem when I began. My first seminar taught me a few techniques about how to find deals. So the first thing I did was start looking. I found a realtor to help me find junkers from the MLS book, and it wasn't long before my offer on a small fixer-upper was accepted. I remember my realtor asking me several times if I had the money. I simply gave her the answer I had learned in class: the money's on its way. Now, I don't have a clue where it came, I don't have a clue where it was coming from, but I knew if I could find a good deal, I shouldn't have too much trouble finding the money. As it turned out, I was right. I took the deal to my ex-boss, and he liked it. He put up some of the money and went on to the bank to borrow the rest. That was the beginning of a partnership that lasted 6 months and 23 deals until I found a source of funds that eliminated my having to share 50% of the deal with my boss. This source supplied all the money I needed to buy junkers as long as I bought them cheaply enough, which launched me into a whole new career. My new source was a mortgage broker, whom I promised I'd make famous. His name is Al Copland, hereafter referred to as Al. Al's job as a one-man brokerage company was to pair private lenders who had money to invest with borrowers like me who could bring them safe loans. Al didn't care about my credit or my income. His only concern was the collateral for the loan. When he put out the money for his friends, relatives, and other private lenders, he had a simple system. If the loan went bad, he was responsible for doing whatever it took to make sure the lender didn't lose money, even if that meant coming out of pocket. Throughout our relationship, Al was adamant that his loan requirements, put simply, his entire system revolved around one basic rule: if I can't take the property back for the loan amount plus cost and make money, I don't want to do the loan. You see, Al didn't care about credit or income because it was and still is totally irrelevant to the safety of the loan. The only real insurance then was and still is now a low loan-to-value ratio. He simply wouldn't make a loan for more than 60% of the value of the property based on his appraiser's report. Of course, the downside was that these loans were high-priced. The rate was 18%, and Al got 10 points off of every loan. That's an extra 10% just for his services. If that wasn't bad enough, his lenders got 6 additional months' interest every time I paid a loan off early, as I always did. Yes, the price was high, but it didn't take me long to figure out it was still cheaper than 50% to a partner. Plus, I maintained total control and didn't have anybody to answer to. The upside was that Al would loan on the after-repaired value, not the purchase price. This was critically important to an investor who was buying houses for 30-40% of their value because the houses needed work. He would escrow for repairs, but I became good at buying houses cheap enough for his loan to cover all the cost and the repairs and then some, and I'd always leave the table with a check. So in other words, I borrowed more than I needed to buy, fix, and hold the house and had a little cash flow left over. I tried to squeeze at least $5,000 per house out of every loan that I could call my own. We would close the loans a few days after the appraisal came back. No credit reports, no income verifications, no other qualifying. Al provided a readily available source of funds for anyone who could live with a loan no higher than 60% of the appraised value. And that was the after-repaired appraised value. The cost was high, but as I quickly learned, the cost of money is irrelevant. It's the availability that's important. As a borrower, my association with Al lasted several years. He made a lot of money for me and vice versa. Al's in business to this day. It hasn't changed a thing as far as I know. In fact, I'm going to send him this book when I get a chance so he'll know I kept my promise to make him famous. It took me a few years to figure out that I could find my own private lenders. If I could, I wouldn't have to pay Al his 10 points and have him control the loans. By using money from my own private lenders for deals, I don't pay a brokerage fee. A basic fact of business: when you go directly to the source, you don't have to pay a middleman. So just in case you haven't figured that out yet by now, here's my point. The best source of money you'll ever find for deals is from people just like you who like a higher rate of return on their money than what they get from a bank. There are more private lenders fitting that description than you will ever need. And in fact, there is several trillion dollars sitting in IRAs right now looking for a place to get a high, safe return. Your job to help them find that place, you. They're easy to find once you learn how, and it's an inexhaustible supply of money. You don't need credit our committees, and you can have the money a few days after finding the deals. You'll be a hero to your lenders because they will be receiving a very high rate of return safely. So let's spend some time learning how first how to find these folks and then how to convince them to loan you the money. As I said earlier, they are all around you. They're people just like you and from all walks of life. You're not looking for huge pools of money from pension plans, banks, or insurance companies. Focus on small amounts of money from everyday folks that will be money in your IRAs or outside of your IRAs and from stocks and bonds and CDs and bank accounts and any other type of investment capital. I've found IRAs to be a very easy source to tap for two reasons. First, making loans is an approved use of your self-directed IRA if it's with the right company, as discussed later in this book. And second, most people consider the money's off limits until their retirement, so it's been sitting there doing nothing, and they're happy to make use of it and get a better return. Once you show prospects how much faster their money grows at 7 to 10% as opposed to 1% from a bank, and point out that it's all tax-deferred or tax-free if it's in a Roth, it's simply not a hard sell. Yes, 7% is the rate I offer to all of my lenders. That's 14 times more than they're getting in their bank account. So the first hurdle you have to overcome is to get your greed glands in check. If you go cheapskate and try to lower the rate, you'll get a lot less cooperation. Just remember that people who invest money do so for one reason only, to make money. If you take away the financial gain, you take away the incentive. Better to pay too much than too little. Better to have happy lenders who can't wait to tell their friends than wishy-washy lenders who have to be begged. If you make it worth their while and come through on what you promise, they'll soon be begging you to get rid of the money. On the other hand, don't spoil them. Offering 18% only creates a question of high risk and costs you more money. A 7 to 10% return is enough to create excitement, and sometimes you can do better than that with people who know and trust you. The best way to set a rate is simply ask the few potential lenders what it will take to get them interested. If they are happy with 5%, give them 5%. In order to borrow someone's IRA, it must be set up with a third-party administrator who can fund the loan. Most IRAs aren't set up this way. It's no big deal to transfer, but you must help lenders take the preliminary step here. So here's how. Go to ronlegrand.com and be a part of our Gold Club, and you'll see all kinds of lessons on using your IRA, how to use your IRA, where to go to set your IRA up or to transfer theirs to, and everything you need to know about that source. It'd take about 10 days to transfer. When it's completed, your lender simply faxes or emails a request for the money to the closing agent, and the third-party administrator will promptly reply by writing money, wiring the money if requested. So you're ready to close as soon as the money arrives. If an IRA is not involved, you're ready to close as soon as you convince your private lender and get the title checked. One of the great advantages of private borrowing is fast closings. I can close almost all my loans the day after I get the funds to the closing agent, which is always the day after my lender commits. We're talking 5 to 7 days after the ink dries on the purchase contract, if the seller is ready, and that includes appraisal time. The question I ask prospective lenders is simple, to the point, and pre-qualifies them quickly. Do you have an IRA or any other investment capital that's not getting you a high rate of return safely? If the answer is yes, they're either lying or not a prospective lender. If the answer is no, the next thing you must do is find out if they even have an IRA or other money. The easiest way I found out to do this is following up by my next question. Well, would you like to? They'll either say yes or I'd love to, but I don't have an IRA or other investments. This is where you either explain the program or you go to a qualified prospect. You won't have to ask too many people before you get positive results if the following three conditions are met. Number one, your prospective lender must be qualified. Number two, you must have some semblance of credibility. Number three, you must be able to prove your case, not just expect your prospect to accept your word. Now, we've already discussed how to quickly pre-qualify your prospective lender with a couple of questions. So what do I mean by a semblance of credibility? I mean you must look and act like someone who can be trusted and is competent to deal with another person's money. Do you dress professionally? Are your shoes shine? Is your hair neatly cut? If you feel you lack credibility, ask yourself or someone else who knows you, and they'll give you an honest answer and see what you can do to remedy it. Well, more often than not, correcting the problem is as easy as getting a haircut, buying a nice shirt, or a new pair of shoes. And of course, this is assuming that you're going to be face to face with your lender and they're looking at you anyway. A lot of deals are done today electronically and by phone and no physical contact. If you feel you lack credibility from lack of experience, don't sweat it. Proving your case and acting with enthusiasm will overcome a lack of experience. If you think your young age presents a credibility problem, the same holds true. Act with enthusiasm and confidence and you'll get results. Remember, this loan is secured by a low loan-to-value ratio on a house. Your lender can easily see that the collateral is what pays it back, not necessarily you, the borrower. You don't pay, they get the property, they make more money. That's the biggest selling tool, to the fact that you can protect your lender so well with equity. Point out that in a worst-case scenario, the property will pay even if you can't. Talk about higher return, safety, and how you want a lasting relationship with people who can mutually profit from your sweat. Show your prospective lenders exactly what your intentions are for the property. Don't ignore the negatives. Don't glorify the positives. Tell it like it is. Tell the lenders how they win. Convince them you're looking out for their investment. Show them how all the proper paperwork will be done and close with your attorney. Put them in touch with your attorney and he'll answer all the questions truthfully. By going through all these steps like a pro, you'll instill confidence in your prospective lenders and infect them with your enthusiasm. You simply won't have to beg anyone to lend you money. It's just not hard to convince people that 7% is better than the 0.5% or so that they're getting in their bank account. You won't have to beg. As a beginner, you'll have to prove your ability, but once you have a track record and a good reputation, that won't be necessary. Your word and a mortgage as collateral will be all you need. But for now, let's look at what a lender would like to see to feel at ease with the deal to deal with you. Actually, this package is no different from the one you should complete before you buy a house. Your lender will probably want to see an appraisal, possibly a repair estimate before committing to the loan, and may even want to see the house. If so, a complete repair estimate is very important to convince a lender that the cost is near the amount you think it is. Furnish lenders a list of the closing documents they will receive, or better yet, have them call your attorney or title company. By proving the value of the house with an appraisal and providing the proper documents after closing, you'll have shown professionalism and built a case for safety. These items should be included in a lender's package. 1. An appraisal with the after-repaired value. 2. Title insurance furnished by the closing agent. 3. Fire insurance naming the lender as the mortgagee. 4. The original note prepared by the closing agent. 5. A copy of the mortgage or deed of trust. The closing agent will record the original and forward it to your lender. And a list of repairs and possibly an estimate of repairs. Remember, the first step is to get moving and start asking. You may have to kiss some frogs, but that's the price of success. You'll be surprised at just how few people you have to ask to get good results. Just keep in mind how easy your job of buying houses will become once you stop worrying about where the money's going to come from. At least 700 or 800 of my houses I bought have been financed with private loans through this method, and I've just shared with you. And over the years, I have personally made over 3,000 private money loans as a mortgage broker using other people's money. I can't tell you how much that means in profit, but I know it beats the heck out of any job I've ever had, and I'm sure you feel the same way once you do what it takes to get the money. It will get easier and easier, and every time you ask for it. Pretty soon, you'll have more money than you can use, and now finding the money won't be a problem. It's going to be more, how do I find the deals to keep all this money busy? So, back in the day, I used my friend Al for 3 years and borrowed 76 loans from him before I decided to go out and start looking for my own money. And then that's when it's time to start making money on your own and not paying the fees. And the good thing about finding the money yourself and not going through any kind of a mortgage broker is you make the rules. They don't. You don't pay points, and you don't pay all those extra fees. You make the rules. You tell the borrower what your rules are, and the borrower can either pass or play. Unlike dealing with a mortgage broker who makes the rules for you, you can take those rules, or you can pass or play. It takes money to make money and other big lies. Those who said it takes money to make money were people trying to justify why they're broke. It doesn't take money to make money, at least not your money, and frequently none at all. The truth is that if you can't make money without money, you can't make money with money. When I started in 82, I had no money or credit. As I noted earlier, I was broke. I had no credit card, no rich relatives, not even a wife working to support me. I'd quit my job and burned the ships behind me. The only way out was to make it or get another job. I had a mortgage and bills just like everyone else. Just somehow I made it happen. I succeeded in spite of the odds stacked against me. You want to know why? I succeeded because I had no money or credit. Believe it or not, having money or credit when you begin your career as a real estate investor can do you more harm than good. It can ruin you if you're not careful. Having no money keeps you focused on doing the deals that don't require money. If your credit sucks, as mine did, you can't apply for bank loans. Therefore, you inadvertently avoided the two biggest minefields, not because you were so smart, but because you had no choice. Whether you have money or not, you should learn to leverage your brain, not your wallet. When you do that, having money becomes a non-issue because you don't need it to buy houses. If you write big checks, you're always worried about losing checks. If you guarantee loans, you risk everything you own. Do neither, and you eliminate your risk. I've said those words 1,000 times, and I still see people who should know better doing it anyway. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you shouldn't have money. I'd actually prefer you to be filthy, stinking rich. I'm just saying you'll get there a lot quicker if buying houses doesn't depend on your capital or the number of loans you can borrow. Because if it does, you're a slave to your limited resources, and your business will move at a snail's pace. How many loans can you get before you get cut off? Only a handful. Then what? How many deals can you buy if you have to write a check for each? You get the drift. On the other hand, how many loans can you take over? How many houses can you buy by taking over debt subject to or buying them with owner financing or lease purchasing before you get cut off? That's right, there is no limit. And no one's counting because it's endless. You can buy 500 houses and never ask for permission or fill out an application or have your credit report pulled or submit to any brainless loan officer. The loans are not on your credit, and you aren't personally liable. If disaster such as a deep recession strikes before the loans are paid off, it's now the bank's problem, not yours. Subject to means the loan stays in the seller's name, but title transfers to you. You can learn more about this from the terms course in the Quick Start Real Estate School, and I'd be happy to conduct for you while I am still doing it personally. You can learn about my courses at ronlegrand.com. If you're buying junkers to rehab, how many private loans can you get before you're cut off? All you want, you should always come away from a closing with more than you need to buy and fix the house. They're not on your credit report. There is no limit. There's nobody to tell you you've borrowed too much. So having enough money to buy a junker isn't a problem. The problem is lining up your lender or mortgage broker to get the money to you, which you can do in a coma once you make up your mind to get it done. How much money do you need to wholesale a house? You guessed it, nada. Well, maybe a $10 deposit to the seller. Can you raise that by yourself? How much do you need to lease option a house and then sublease it to a tenant buyer? You know the answer, none. So let's recap for a minute. Taking over debt subject to loans on pretty houses usually requires no money from you at all, at most a small amount for closing cost. Yet you can immediately lease option a pretty house or sell it with an owner financing and pick up a check from $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 or more from a deposit or a down payment, all within a few days. You can also buy junkers and rehab them using private loans, getting cash when you buy and sell and never spending a dime of your own money. You can also lease option pretty houses from the sellers and sublease to tenant buyers, picking up deposits in the thousands within days and huge back-end checks and nice monthly cash flow along the way. And don't forget about the bargains. Flip them to bargain hunters and make $10,000, $15,000 or more. Never own the house. All of this with none of your own money or credit. I don't know what's stopping you, but what stops a lot of folks is lack of grit, not guts. Afraid of your own shadow, going through life and avoiding confrontation or pain. Can't grow because they won't go. You want to know who seems to do the best in this business? The people without money or credit, but have lots of grit. And how do you get grit? Simple. You first suffer adversity and get beat up and get kicked around. Then one day you wake up and realize no one can hurt you anymore. And then you get strong and develop alligator skin. When you stop worrying about losing, you can start thinking about winning. You see, people with grit have learned to stop playing not to lose and begin playing to win. Does this mean you don't have grit if you haven't been to the bottom? Of course not. Adversity is not a requirement for grit. It just seems that those who are bloodiest seem to be more fired up and move more quickly with more passion. They've seen the black hole, and they don't want to go back. It's quite common for those who begin with money to leap before they look and spend money on stuff that doesn't produce revenue. Stuff like office furniture and computers and electronics and foolish advertising that wastes money. Smart entrepreneurs put their money in the bank and start their business on a shoestring. The fancy stuff doesn't put a dime in the bank. To do that, you must make offers, and you should be making them without using your money or credit. Success seems to be connected with action. Successful people keep moving. They make mistakes, but they don't quit. Conrad Hilton. We've created a system for you to use to attract and pre-screen private lenders. It's a website already set up for you where I do all the selling, so all you have to do is call the lender. You'll find all about it on ronsgoldclub.com. I've done a 17-minute audio you can send to prospective private lenders, and it literally tells them everything they need to know to do business with you. So as usual, all the resources that I'm discussing here, you can find right on our websites anytime you wish.